It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is Dancing Sue.
Circle to the left, you circle to the left. Go back to the right, to the right, to the right. And our right hand star, go walking right.
American folk dance caller Sue Hulsether of Viroqua travels around the state and the country leading dances. The kids call her Dancing Sue, and we caught up with her in La Crosse recently leading second graders at Spence Elementary School in a dance. Hulsether was recently awarded a folk arts apprenticeship from the Wisconsin Arts Board so she can pass the tradition of dance calling onto a new generation. She wrote a guidebook with teaching tips and instructions for a variety of social dances with names like Wisconsin Strip the Willow and Rescue the Cat. And Sue Hulsether joins us now. Welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be chatting with you today.
Well, let's walk in your shoes a bit. What does it mean to be a dance caller?
Well, you get to tell people what to do and they do it. That's the minimum. No, basically, to be a dance caller, you have learned this age-long tradition of leading people through American folk dances. The dance caller not only chooses what dances are done at a given event, but then they teach people what to do. And as the dance goes on, the caller is still prompting the moves. So people don't have to memorize a pattern and do it, but instead the caller is saying the directions, often in a very musical way, as the dance proceeds.
Go forward and back. Go one, two, three, back. All right, go across line one. Forward and back. Go one, two, three, back.
You have to stay one step ahead of all of these dancers, so they're never waiting on you.
That is exactly right. That's exactly right. You have to be watching and talking and listening to the music going on behind you all at the same time.
It's interesting how you make this distinction that these dances are social dances. They're not performance-type dances. Can you talk about the difference there?
I love shows like Dancing with the Stars and things like that. It's really made knowledge of dance be more evident in our culture. But it's also sort of put forward this notion that to dance, you have to be really good at it. You know, it has to be something that you either win or you don't get eliminated, or you have specific skills that are either thumbs up or thumbs down. But really, social dance has been going on in our American culture and in cultures around the world forever. People dance with each other to celebrate and to enjoy the music of their culture. So really, contra dance, barn dances, square dances are all dances that are rooted in the social experience with others.
And when you look someone in the eye and say, let's dance together, or ask them to dance, what do you think that's cultivating?
Well, I think it cultivates the connection we need in our culture. I mean, I do a lot of work with kids in schools. It's really the way that being a full-time dance caller has been any sort of close proximity to a real career. In the last 22 years, I've spent a lot of time doing artist in residency work in schools. And one of my big teaches is, this is how we're going to ask someone to dance. We're going to hold our hand out. We're going to look them in the eye. And we're going to smile at them and we're going to say, will you be my dance partner? And as often as we want to shy away from that because it makes kids maybe uncomfortable, or adults for that matter, uncomfortable to look at someone and say, will you dance with me? I think it is a necessary element of being in a culture where we're connected to each other.
What do you think is special about working with kids and seeing them on the dance floor?
Well, if they've never met me before, they kind of come in the door a little dubious, like, do we have to dance? And I say, well, you get to dance. And I've been doing this a long time. And very rarely do people go out the door thinking it was a bad idea. You know, so seeing the joy in their faces and the discovery of the joy of doing a social dance, it's not competitive. It is something that's collaborative. And some dances don't have partners, some dances do. And in American folk dancing, often there is a partner. But seeing the delight in their eyes, I mean, I will admit, I have dances that I do for each age level that sort of can reel them in with their enthusiasm. And I always choose to do that one first, you know. And often after that first dance where I've gotten them going with loud music and fast movement and nothing complicated, and then they look at me and say, "This is fun." And I say, "Yeah, that's why they invited me here." But it's also really important for me to help kids know that these are dances that have been passed on. They're not new. They're not created just for 2025. They're a dance that is very similar to a dance that George Washington would have done 250 years ago. And it's still fun now.
Sue, when did the delight, the spark happen in your eyes? Can you talk about your journey to becoming Dancing Sue?
Well, Dancing Sue is the title that other people have given me. I did not give it to myself, but I've taken it on. I did not grow up as a dancer. I did not grow up in a dancing family. I did not grow up in a community that had regular dances, at least none that I know of. But I did grow up in a musical family. So I studied music in college. I studied music education. And about 10 years after I got out of college, I decided to return to teaching. And so I really came at dancing from the perspective of a music teacher. However, in my early 30s, I found myself newly single and in a new city, and someone had told me about contra dancing and square dancing. So I sought it out as a safe social thing to do as a newly single adult. The very first contra dance I went to, contra dancing is like kind of a cousin to square dancing. The first dance I went to, I was hooked. I didn't ever stop. I danced really regularly, square dancing, contra dancing, other kinds of social dancing for about 5 years. And all that time, I was still a music teacher. And there was a moment at one of the dances I went to socially where I looked at the caller and I thought, I don't know how to do that. But if I could learn, I probably would be pretty good at that. And so I sort of launched in a more intensive than many people probably journey of learning how to be a caller. Eventually, I quit my teaching job, moved to Viroqua, and decided I'd try to make it a full-time job.
We're talking with Sue Hulsether, a dance caller, teaching artist, and music educator based in Viroqua, about her work leading traditional folk and social dances around the country.
And reverse, go back to the left.
Sue, in your book, Join Up Hands, it's dances for schools and community groups, and you refer to it more like a cookbook than a textbook. What are you hoping to accomplish with these sort of dance recipes?
Well, I just really want to make the repertoire and the dances accessible to new callers, to music teachers and other teachers who might want to do some traditional dancing in their schools. And I especially wrote it for teachers who maybe aren't involved socially themselves as a dancer, but still want to help their students learn a little bit about, well, not learn a little bit, but do actually some traditional dances. So I just wrote it with the teacher in mind.
Do you ever get concerned that you'll lose your voice or that you'll lose your place? I mean, so much is riding on you.
I lose my voice and my place all the time. So I've learned a lot about vocal care. I've learned a lot about my sound system and how to operate it in a way that was good for my voice. Losing my place, I've done it embarrassingly large amount of times. But like I said at the very beginning, you know, when you're a caller, you're telling people what to do, and usually they do it. And if you go at it with a sense of humility and grace, and we're all in this together to have a good time, admit your mistakes when you make them, and my goal, I guess, always when I'm calling dances to a group of dancers, whatever age they are, is let's connect with each other. Let's connect with the music. Let's enjoy being with other people. And if I keep that as the goal rather than the perfection of what's coming out of my mouth, then it's easier to have success.
You're telling these dancers what to do. And I'm wondering, do you find yourself bossy in other parts of your life?
Well, my sister would say yes. Actually, it's interesting that you use that word. I used to say all the time to people, like, if you're a bossy person, you should be a dance caller because you get to tell people what to do. Now I try to think of it as leadership because I realize bossy is a word that we often use for women in leadership, but we never use it for men in leadership. But yeah, I am pretty opinionated in the rest of my life, but I'm also jovial in the rest of my life. So what's better than having a jovial person telling you what to do? You know, it's great.
And the dances you describe in the book are mostly partner dances, which has traditionally involved gender roles. How have you adapted dances calling to be more gender inclusive?
Well, a lot of the dances that I do with new dancers and kids, I just have chosen dances that there doesn't need to be a gender role. You know, in a traditional square dancing way or contra dance, there's been a real evolution in the last 5 years or so about alternative terminology for the formerly known as lady and gent role. Other terms are being used. There's a real movement in contra and square dancing to call things based on the location of where the person is rather than what gender role they're dancing. But it's definitely a hot topic in our field.
Do you think that the folk dancing creates or sparks creativity? Because these dances are set. You know, where is the creative element?
In general, I would say this isn't a dance form that is a creative dance form. But there's all different ways that an individual can express their own style and their own creativity. But there's not moments where you get to sort of bust out a move. however, there are some traditional dances from Appalachia where, for example, you're in a little group of four and you're circling around and one person goes into the center of that group of four and they do whatever they want. It's called Birdie in the Cage.
Hey, put some of Birdies in the cage. A couple people go into the middle, do your thing. And Birdies hop out. And crows hop in. It's crows in the middle.
Some researchers have found that that probably has some direct link to ring dances in West Africa. And so there's ties in all these different types of American traditional dance. There's ties to different cultures of different peoples that came to North America. So there are, you know, different little bits. There's some dances that more came off of a playground, maybe from southern United States, where you go down the middle and do your thing. So there are a few dances where it's built in that you get to sort of show off your stuff. But a standard square dance or contra dance, you maybe are showing your creativity just by how fast you spin or what little flourish you might put on as you stand back in your place.
I think you have flourishes or two.
Well, as a caller, you get to, depending upon what type of dance you're calling, there's this whole, especially with Southern square dances and Southern big circle dances, there's this whole square dance patter that you're giving the directions, but it's also sort of, there's nonsense and rhyming words. And so I'm making that up all the time. It's like being a rapper, only you're actually calling square dances.
Sue, how can people get involved in local folk dances in their own community?
Well, there's an active contra dance that happens in Madison and in Milwaukee. There's a a wonderful place called Folklore Village in Dodgeville. I know those are all specific and they're not across the whole state, but there's surprising amounts of little pockets of places that have a regular dance that might have polka, schottische, waltz, and a couple squares. We have a regular dance in Soldiers Grove that's on the second Saturday of the month, and that's been going on for 40 years. Yesterday I was in Richland Center doing a dance that they're starting to get going there. So people just need to ask around. It's actually happening in more places than one would ever know.
Sue, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been a delight.
That was Sue Hulsether, a dance caller and music educator in Viroqua. She's a recipient of the 2025 Folk Arts Apprenticeship from the Wisconsin Arts Board and the author of Join Up Hands with teaching tips she has perfected over decades of leading dances. Now that we've learned about traditional square dancing with Dancing Sue calling out the steps, we'd love to learn about your community dancing experiences. Celia in Madison shared with us recently about taking clogging and line dancing lessons.
If you do a whole dance routine, that all has to go in your head, in your mind, and it's an excellent thing for keeping your mind active.
So whether it's square dancing, line dancing, or something else, share a story about your dance lessons or a memory. Email us at wisconsintoday@wpr.org, or you can call or text to get in touch. That number is 888-642-0232. That's 888-642-0232. Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to WPR News.